This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
It's time to play the music. It's time to light the light. It's time to meet the Muppet on the Muppet Show tonight.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to a wonderful episode. We hope you enjoyed this for number one. And if not, we're here for number two. And of course, that is of the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, Muppetational podcast. Of course, I am your host, Miranda, but I am not here alone, and I will never be here alone, because I always have my very good Muppet-watching friend, Mr. Andy Atherton himself. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Miranda. God, you know, I love the title of the pod, but sometimes when we have to read it, it's like, what are we doing to ourselves?
Right? Like, I won't lie to the people. Like, I have our logo, and I pull it up, and I stare intently at it while I say it. I tried to do it once on another show you and I do together without looking at it, and that was befuddlement and a half.
Yeah. No, I love it. And our first episode was so much fun. I'm really enjoying, you know, it's like... I have all these things like from my youth growing up that I want to watch. And it's like making that decision is hard. But you know what? Since we're doing this pod, it's like I'm forcing myself to watch something I want to watch, if that makes sense.
Right.
It's like I have to watch this because I want to be prepped. I want to be able to talk about it with, you know, some knowledge here. And I'm really glad that, you know, we've started this. And the first episode was a ton of fun. I like our games. One is a little morbid, but what the hell? But you know,
it is. But at the same time, it's like morbid. But the word of is evading me that I wanted to use. But basically, it kind of like is a shock to your system of like just seeing like all the good talent that is no longer with us. To be honest.
I agree. So yeah, so I'm very excited to continue on season one of The Muppet Show.
Yeah. So in our first episode, we basically went through the first four episodes of season one of The Muppet Show, and we kind of broke them down skit by skit, gave our favorites. Some skits we gave more attention than others. So right now, I think that's the flow we're going to kind of keep up with, but we may change it. We'll throw in some facts here and there. And of course, if you, while following us, want to also watch the shows, if you want to tell us if you agree or disagree on our thoughts on some of these skits or what your favorite skit, your favorite guest, any of those things are, there's multiple ways to reach out to us and do that. And we always share it at the end of the show. Of course, if you're here, you probably know us and you already know how to do that. So just reach out and let us know. We love to like add your opinions and thoughts to everything that we're doing here. We started with one through four, so we're going to start with five now, which our special guest is Marita Moreno.
Mm-hmm. Very fine actress.
She is. She's fantastic. Our game that we were playing was one, did Marita know them? Yes.
Okay. Yes.
I did know. I knew Marita Moreno. That was an easy one. So mm-hmm. I knew. So no check mark in the box because it only gets a check mark if I didn't know them. And then is she still with us? And she is. I looked up. And actually, she's recently been in a show that was hysterical, done by Netflix. I think it got moved to another.
I think it went to.
Yeah. One Day at a Time.
Yeah. I think it either went to or from Netflix to True TV or Pop TV or something.
It left Netflix because it was Netflix, which is a remake. But she's on there and she's fantastic. I highly recommend watching her still do what she loves and be an amazing actress on that show. So she is our special guest. And I wanted to notate that you and I we mentioned a lot last time about how things seem to like not be in order. And then we read like how they actually all aired on in the UK first and then came to America. And so, like, the order is really strange. And then I told you about the app I use to keep up with shows I watch, and their order is different. So when they first added Muppet Show to Disney Plus, and I was going to show it to Caden, for some weird reason, even though this is episode 5, this episode is the one that aired first for him. And he was so confused because that very first skit.
Yeah. That first skit, I have it on right now. Yeah, this is one of my, everybody knows Andy has his certain issues. This is one of my issues I have. Yes. So with the human-sized Muppets. And the fact that they switched back and forth between a human with the Muppet head and hands to a dummy.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, this is kind of freaky.
I was watching it and I was like, oh, they glide back and forth so effortlessly. Andy is probably losing his mind.
Yes, I am. Because it's like, it could be but real. Like, that's my nightmare to wake up and see like a human-sized Muppet like in my room, like looking at me.
Okay. Not funny, but it's funny.
It is funny. I think it's hysterical.
It is pretty funny.
As we're going through season one, is that I don't have the best memory of these episodes. Like the ones that are more vivid in my imagination, as when I look through like the list, the host list, I'm like, oh my God, I remember that one. Now, yeah, are more like the second, third, fourth, fifth season. Even these are like almost like fresh eyes for me. Because there's so many differences, too, between differences and some character designs a little bit. So, and also reading a little bit trivia that, you know, especially like Miss Piggy was being done by two different people at times during some of these episodes. So that's why her voice.
She looks different than the Piggy that we're used to.
Yes. So.
Mm-hmm. So to remind you guys, in case you're like, what? I don't remember the Muppet Show. So the Muppet Show is essentially just that. It's a variety show that ran for, I think the episode was about 30 minutes long. It's a variety show that is headed by Kermit and the rest of the gang. It shows what goes on backstage and on stage. So like most variety shows, you just see what happens on stage. And this one, they actually have like the craziness that is ensuing backstage. And every episode they have a guest star, which is a human, and it's usually someone well-known from the time, because it started, I don't have my dates, I forgot, I had them last time, but it's like 1970, do you remember our date that we had pulled up?
76.
Yeah, so this version of the Muppet Show ran from 1976 to 1981, which is a pretty good run. So it's, as we're going along, like Rita Moreno, for example, she was very popular and very, well-known at the time. Not she's still well-known, but she was very important in the world of Hollywood at the time. So they're going to pick people like that. I did read a fact that said a lot of times they would ask the guest star that was going to be on the show, like, what Muppet would you like to work with most? apparently, the most chosen were Kermit and Piggy. But they did have guests that they would say, you know, hey, we're up for whichever one you think works well with what you're writing for us to do. Because it is obviously it's a written performance. It's puppets. You know, it's Muppets. I'm sure there's some ad-libbing that does happen. But they the top choices were Kermit and Piggy, which didn't surprise me with Kermit because he is supposed to be the host of the variety show.
Yeah.
But several of them would say they didn't care or whoever. But the common requested were Kermit and Piggy. And actually, in this first skit that we're talking about here, Piggy is in it. It's not, she looks different, so you don't realize it. But they're doing the French tango. And Piggy is in the corner. And it kind of insinuates that this is maybe Rita's spouse, partner, love interest, and he's over here at the bar flirting with Piggy. And she comes in and catches them flirting and then decides, says, like, no, you're mine, let's dance, and starts beating the crap out of him, basically.
Yeah, it's a fun dance break. Well, this also goes into Rita's. Rita is a song and dance woman. I mean, she was in West Side Story. So she's like, that's what she's known for at the time. Her thing is, her and Cheetah Rivera were were contemporaries and would star in and they were in those roles. Like they would take, you know, they're the next generation of like, you know, your Sophia Lorenz, your Lola Falanas, those actresses. They were filling those kind of roles.
So it's really funny. It creeped Andy out, and I wrote down a note that said The Muppet looks very Ernie-like.
Yeah, kind of. Because like, he's got the ears.
Yeah,
and, the hair.
And that's a repeat thing, is that, mm-hmm. that some of the Muppets will remind you of other Muppets from Sesame Street and Fraggle Rock and other things, because obviously it is the same creator. So I did. I wrote that down. I said, looks like Ernie. There is a running gag, or there is a some sort of usually backstage something going on like the whole time, and we've talked about them before. And this one is literally called a running gag, which they took it and made it literal, involving the telephone, which I thought was hysterical.
Yeah, I was digging this one. This is probably out of the ones we've seen so far. This is my favorite running gag for an episode so far.
So Fozzie keeps getting, the phone keeps ringing, and Fozzie keeps answering it. And every time Kermit is like, who was that? Because like one time water comes out, and he's like, it was the water department.
Mm-hmm.
And the next time smoke is going everywhere and Fozzie's coughing, he's like, who was that? You can tell Kermit's like, what is going on? He's like, that was the fire department. And it keeps going throughout the show. And I think by the time we reach the end, Vegas has called, and Kermit even says, I'm really tired of this running gag, and to which Fozzie is like, no, this is not a running gag. That's a running gag, which is actually Gonzo just running back. And then eventually the telephone rings again, and he's like, just don't answer it this time. And Animal packs it away. He's like, nope, there's your running gag.
Yes, Animal takes it and goes.
Yeah, he just goes away. So that's gone backstage the whole time. This is the first introduction of one of my favorite skits that is a repeating skit, which is called Veterinarian's Hospital.
Yes, I love Veterinarian's Hospital. Very, this one is a, this is some, you know, a little entendres here in the jokes here.
Yes, but for
it's
sure.
It's a good dynamic of Rolf being the doctor, and then you got Piggy and Janice as the nurses. And yeah, just very like the, and the VO is great. The voiceover announcer with the continuing story of a quack who's gone to the dogs.
And now this one, he's operating on Fozzie. Yes. Yeah, so it's Dr. Bob. Rolf is Dr. Bob.
And they say Janice is operating in another part of the another operating room, and she's the talk of the hospital. So that was like kind of like, what's happening there?
Right.
Because I actually know something that happened in real life where somebody was quote unquote operating in another hospital, and it made the paper and stuff here. So it actually turned out to be a doctor that delivered my son. So.
Oh, nice.
So that's another reason why I was picking up on that. But, and also my favorite part though of Veterinary's Hospital is at the end when the voiceover guy goes, tune in next week. What does he say? He goes, tune in next week on Veterinary's Hospital. And they all look up like, where is that voice coming from?
Yeah, they all look. And then a lot of time they're like, tune in next week when the nurse will say, and then usually Piggy or Janice say something really funny. I didn't write down what they said this time because I was just kind of like in awe. It's the first showing of Veterinarian Hospital. Veterinarian Hospital, and then another one I've told you in the past, but we haven't got to it yet, so I won't like for the audience spoil, but there is another one that is like top tier, my favorite reoccurring skit, which I know happens later. It comes quite a bit later in our seasons, I think.
We'll talk about when we get there. Yeah, there's a few that for me.
And there are a lot that are reoccurring, which is really fun. Our next one is also reoccurring, the Muppet Newsflash, and this one was the Chicken Dances Ballet.
Yeah,
that one was pretty funny.
It's fun because it's a quick hitter that is like you know serves as a nice transition between sketches. He comes out, says his thing, makes his face, and then goes. So yeah.
Yep. And some of them are dry, but some of them are really funny. This one was one of those that I was like, for a second watching it as an adult, I was like, what? And then he got to the punchline, and I was like, oh, that was pretty good. That one was pretty good. One of your favorites, the next that we move into, and these all kind of move and flow really well, So we've told you what's going on backstage, like, the whole time. So sometimes they might go in and out of backstage. But so where we're talking about the continuous running gag and the different people calling is also happening in between. But the next one is one of your favorite, and it's the Swedish Jep, and he's making flapjacks, griddle cakes, whatever you want to call them. Swedish Jep is cooking pancakes.
Yes, and he throws them up, and they get stuck on the ceiling, and he's got to shoot them down.
But he throws two up. He throws two up, and then he's like, they're not going anywhere. And he, like, does, like, a pump of air or something. I don't know what he shot exactly.
Yeah.
At the ceiling, and then a bunch come down. A bunch.
I know they do something later on similar in another sketch where he's making pancakes or something like that, and he shoots them down. They come down with holes. So he's like, all right, we're making donuts. So that is one of those ones that stuck in my brain, which is a scary place. But anyway.
So part of that one is, though, that the old guys are heckling him, too.
Oh, yeah.
About his cooking, about how horrible his cooking is. And then we go to another repeating one, which I think these next few, there's quite a bit repeating. And it's at the dance.
Yes.
Which I wrote in my notes at ballroom. I was like, ballroom with animal. Because one of them makes a comment about, I don't think we should come here. I think we should find a new dance club. It seems like it's letting it go to the animals. And you see Animal dance by with his date. And then right after that, the whole punchline of this one. One of the ladies says, how do you feel about sharks or something like that? Or have you ever seen shark in a ballroom? And he's like, no, why? And she's like, no reason. And there's like a shark fin that goes by.
Yes. Yes, the shark was so very funny.
The whole thing of this one was shark in the ballroom.
Yeah. And you have George, the janitor, so usually dancing with the, I call it the purple lady. It became a recurring joke of the shark fin just the entire time, which is like, why not? You know, I've been to dances and I've seen a shark. Who hasn't?
Yeah, come on. That's normal. The next one is actually listed as the UK spot. So we told you guys last time that when they aired in the US, there were, and I think it was to do with commercials, and they had like a whole reason why they had more spots. So what they would do is they would run a few commercials, and then they would show a skit real quick, and then they would run a few more commercials before they actually came back to the show in the UK. Thankfully, the versions on Disney Plus actually include these UK spot skits. And this one was a favorite one in this episode of mine called Tomorrow, as in separate words, like Morrow is its own word, and it's the band all singing together. The group, yes, I don't know what their name was. Do you know?
Well, I think it's just a trio, and they're all meant to look like the people voicing them, which is why the one really looks like Jim Henson.
Oh, okay.
And the other
two. I thought so. Hmm? Yeah. I was looking
at it. Yeah, it's like a nice music number, you know. It nothing is. More, nothing more to it. You know, it's fine. It's just, you know, it's just
funny.
Part of the show.
It's fun, yeah.
And then the next,
the one guy would be like, don't get it. Yeah, he's like, I don't get it. We do the next one. I'll let you talk about the next one, which is another song, called "Lady of Spain."
Yes, Marvin Suggs and his Muppet Phone. This is another one. This is one of my. Like, I have my A tier, you know, my Gonzo and Fozzie. And I may put Lou Zealand on that level. No, I probably put Swedish Chef on that. Then behind him, though, there's Lou Zealand, there's Animal, and then Marvin Suggs. I have a Marvin Suggs figure, part of my Muppet figure collection with the Muppet-phone. And, yeah, this is just silly where he just takes a hammer and hits these little, like, they look like little fur balls of fur. And they have
they're
tuning it up as they all have it's like they're like a piano, they're all different keys. Ow, ow, oh, ow, ow, kind of thing. And yeah, it's just one of those, it's silly, it's just the only way to explain it, it's Muppet. It's very Muppet.
Mm-hmm. It's very Muppet.
It's a guy that's dressed like a mariachi guy, and they're playing Lady of Spain, and he's beating them with a giant hammer. So
he has a big mallet, and he makes make their voices.
Like the strongman things you do at the carnival, and he just hits each one to get to play the song.
And I didn't remember this one either, so I was kind of like really engrossed in it. And for some reason, I thought the little Muppaphone guys were super cute. Like,
yes, they are.
It's like if Tribbles had faces and mouths.
Yes, exactly.
Pretty much. I love the panel discussion skit that they do. I don't know why, but there are some really funny things that get said in these. This one, a panel discussion, not always, but usually includes the guest. So this one, Rita is present, and the conversation is conversation a dying art? And Rita keeps slipping in and out of English and Spanish, and she's talking really fast. And her and Piggy end up getting into this huge argument. She's like, "Do you not understand English?" And she's like, "I speak English as good as the best, the next man." And they just like take jabs and blows each other. And it.
If the next man was Desi Arnaz, yes. As she says.
Yeah.
I can't tell you. I'm going to get. I got la 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 la. She starts speaking German.
Yes, and she just
it's goes, very funny.
It's like yeah, it is, and she talks so fast, but at the same time, and then the guru says some sort of like quote, and she's like, "That makes no sense." And then she's like, "I'll give you a phrase in my country," and she strings on for like 2 or 3 minutes, not that long, but it seems like that long. And then Piggy's like, "What did you say?" And then she basically says, "I'm going to, I'll punch you in the face if you don't stay over there," or something.
They are funny. They go to Statler and Waldorf, and Statler's like, she's easy on the eyes, but not easy on the ears. And Waldorf goes, "Yes, in fact, I got a concussion from that discussion." These two, I'm telling you, the Muppet Show itself would these guys enhance the show and just put the button
tenfold
on a lot of the sketches and jokes. I mean, if they're not here, this thing is not nearly as funny as these shows. They are just, you can't have the Muppet Show without them. So
here I 100% agree.
Yeah. I mean, look, like we'll talk about it. Hopefully maybe we'll do a review of it. But when you go to Muppet Vision and God willing that attraction never goes away at the studios.
Agreed.
The fact that I'm in the Muppet Theater and Statler and Waldorf are in there, I'm in awe every time I go there.
Yes, so, I totally agree.
So Statler and Waldorf are so important to the Muppet Show, and they just show it right here because this just makes a funny sketch even funnier because of the way they react to it.
Or like Swedish Chef earlier. It's funny on its own, but when they heckle him about his cooking, it just like intensifies the skit, and sometimes it even kind of explains the skit. I know that sounds weird, but it does sometimes like explain it as well.
Yeah, they're kind of like the audience. They're the audience surrogate, but if we were all curmudgeons.
So we go to another Muppet News Flash, which there is no news. There is no news tonight. That simple.
Yeah.
No news. And sometimes they are that simple, but they're funny. We go to another one of my favorite things that they do with the guest, which is their talk spot.
Yep.
And you and I have talked about this before. There was one that made me uncomfortable, if you remember.
Yes.
Like tickling Kermit or something. I was like, oh, I can't. I don't know why, but this bothers me. Or no, when he squished himself flat, which he does again in one of these, not this episode, but he does it again. I was like, oh, my. I don't know why. This one was about cue cards and it was a joke. So that's one of the things I love about the Muppet Show is so like the running gag where it was literal. They talk about the things that happen in shows. So this one talks all about cue cards and Rita's like, I don't want to do a show where, they just read the cue cards. And so jokingly, Kermit looks off into the distance and is like, well, Rita, but if I, like, trying to read the cue cards, and he's like, I'm just kidding. And then he's like, well, we can do this without cue cards, but I don't know how the guy would feel that holds the cue cards. And it's Sweetums, who is one you don't have a problem with, correct?
No, I don't, because he's not a person.
He's entirely Muppet, basically.
Yeah,
he's not half Muppet, half person.
Yeah, he's just a big ass Muppet. That's all he is to it. Okay. Also, I think because he's from the Muppet movie as well. I think because Muppet. So yeah, Sweetums does not freak me out because he is not part human. He's all Muppet, so to speak.
Okay.
And you know, as much as I love the Swedish Chef, when he sits there like twiddling his hands, his thumbs and stuff like that, and the fact that they're human, I'm kind of like, I could see through with the Swedish Chef, but these randos that come on and some sketches. There's one in like one of the next episodes we're doing that I was like, nope, I'm not enjoying this sketch at all right now. Nope, I want this sketch to be over.
Well, our next sketch is Wayne and Wanda, which is like the wholesome little couple there, and they do Goody Goody.
Yes, I totally forgot about Wayne and Wanda for years because they're not in anything. I don't know how present they'll be like in later seasons, but I just love how Sammy Eagle is always
introducing. He is obsessed with them.
Yeah, he is. You're all weirdos.
And I think at one point he's like, they're wholesome and they're wonderful. And like, he loves them.
Yeah. Cause they're his kind of people, I guess, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They're not goofy or funny. They just go out and they do these old timey. Cause they're like, you know, movie stars from like the '30s.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. Yeah.
They really remind you of like a Scarlett O'Hara kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Like with her.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Rudolph Valentino or. You know, those type of people, like from like you know, literally like right before like pre 1945 movie stars, like that age, like before really the '50s kicked in. But yeah, I mean they're fine. I mean they're there to be like the squares, I guess, to the rest of the weirdos, so to speak. So I mean they're good. They're nice. Yeah, you know, they break up the pace when they're there.
They do. I would agree with Sam that they're a nice, wholesome little thing. They're ones that I don't tend to pay attention to as much. And I don't think there's anything wrong with them. I think they're cute and fun, like you said. But I really like the funnies. So, like, we go from Wayne and Wanda into Fozzie being – actually, Fozzie and Statlin Waldorf doing this whole bit with each other. And they're like, you remind us of her, Charlton Heston. And he's like, what? And they were like, he said, Charlton Heston doesn't tell jokes. And they're like, exactly.
Yes. Fozzie's like, he's begging please with them sometimes. Like, don't heckle me.
Yeah, he's like, don't heckle me. And then he's like, why aren't you heckling me? Like, it gets pretty funny. We get one more sketch of the evening for this episode, and it is our guest act, and I thought it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I feel like you enjoyed this one really well, so tell them about Fever and Rita Moreno.
Oh, God. Maria Moreno, first of all, she's sexy, so watching this as an adult is a little different than watching it like when I was, you know, a kid, but it starts off, she's trying to be so... satisfied. And I love Floyd too. Floyd is just so cool. He's so chill. And then Animal with the drums, and it's starting to throw Rita off, and they have a little a back and forth here. And no, this is she's off her game, but she's not going to take any of Animal's crap, so to speak.
Exactly.
You know, she goes back into Spanish, like kind of like she did during the panel a little bit, where she's like trying to. That's it. It's like, you know, for wrestling fans, it's like when Asuka gets mad, starts yelling in Japanese. It's like when people start yelling in like a different tongue. It's like, you know, shit's getting real.
Exactly. Yeah. You made them so mad that they can't even remember what language they were trying to converse with you in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was all of episode 5. Really, one of the reasons why we might go through them really fast is they're just skits that... they're really funny, but they don't have as much in-depth to talk about. Or if we did, then there would be no reason for you to watch it. We want you to watch and enjoy this show as much as we have. That episode with Rita was 5 of season 1 and aired September 12th of 1976. if you're keeping up with the airing of these as we are. So then after that, we get one from September 26th of 1976. I loved this episode. So in episode 6 of season 1, we have one of the best people ever. I have met him. He was a phenomenal man, Mr. Jim Neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Yes, golly. Best known as Gomer Pyle, but he did have a nice singing career, though. He had some acting outside of that. I mean, he was, Gomer on, I think it was Andy Griffith, I think is where the character started, and he got spun off to his own show. So, I know, great. So Miranda's heard of Jim Neighbors. We know that because he's met him.
Yes, Miranda has heard of Jim Neighbors. I have met him. He was a wonderful man. Unfortunately, he did pass away in 2017 at the age of 87. So he was just a really fun character guy, and so I was really excited to see, because I did not remember watching this episode in the past. So he was a really fun guy. What I will notate again is I have some discrepancy with the running of these, and I'm going to come back to this a lot. So in one of the first episodes that we talked about, in our first episode, was Scooter being the nephew to the guy that actually owns the Muppet Theater. Mm-hmm. And he's there and he's like, my uncle wouldn't like that, or I want to do this skit. So obviously they know each other already. But for some reason, episode 6 is presented as Scooter's first day, and he comes in and he introduces himself to Kermit, and he's like, hi, I'm going to be, what is it he refers to himself as?
A new
like
gopher.
His jobs. Your gopher, that's right. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Kermit cracks his joke about, we have chickens and we have all these other animals. And he's like, but you don't look like a gopher, and I don't need a gopher. And he's like, no, like gopher coffee, gopher this, gopher. And he's like, oh, I can't afford you, I can't do it. And he's like, well, my uncle does own the theater. And I'm thinking to myself, but they already know each other because he's already been like, so I have some like, I tried to do some digging on why this happened, and I can't find any real information, but things seem weird.
Yeah. It's like,
things are out of place.
Haven't we already met? Maybe because it was, they knew it was going to be airing in America first, but they just decided not to go back and re-edit some of the other ones. I don't know. But
I don't know.
You know, a lot of this stuff you could just say, it's Muppets.
Right, it's the Muppets. Yeah, it's the Muppets. They just forgot. This is also an episode I notated has, I don't think this is the right phrasing for it, but this is what I wrote down when I was watching them. And I notated that this is another one that had a sensitivity warning or a disclaimer. Thank you. For some reason, my brain forgot that. And I was like, sensitivity warning, which is kind of the same thing. I couldn't figure out what it was. But I'm going to assume it's because Gomer, if you know anything about Jim Neighbors' characters, Gomer, he talks a little slower, almost like maybe he's not very smart, very country. And I wonder if they're saying depictions of country people that we're not like that, because, well, we're not. But so I'm not real sure, but I think that might be why. And then it could also be that there is a skit that for like a brief second, there is a Native American in it.
Yeah, it could be that one.
I don't know why, but it is another one. And we told you guys, we'd tell you when there were disclaimers. So the whole thing going on backstage, Scooter's first day, him being a gopher and all the things he can do. But we actually immediately get a song as our first skit of the night. And you love this. Well, he's not a group right here. He's by himself. You love this guy. So what did you think about his song Money?
Oh, I thought it was fun. There's two piano players, and, it's him and Rolf. And Dr. Teeth is above Rolf, in my opinion. There are different kinds. Rolf plays the traditional piano. Dr. Keith kind of plays, like, the synthesizer, kind of tickles the eye, that kind of thing. But no, he's always fun. He brings it. I mean, look, the Electric Mayhem is such a great band. I mean, they just said, like, what do we want in this band? We want the front man that's flashy, little Elton John.
Yeah,
we want
Elton
our
John
really
esque.
Cool, our cool bass player. And then we have our hot women guitarist. And then we have our crazy drummer and our like, you know, cool, mellow sax player. I mean, it's such a great dynamic there. And Dr. Teeth alone, though, he's just a showman. That's really what he is. Mm-hmm.
Agree. Mm-hmm. So our next little skit is actually a guest act. And this skit called Gone with the Wind was actually cut in the season one DVD version. Because we talked about it last time. We did, Andy and I did a little research and we talked about they decided to cut some of these for various reasons. Like they thought it wouldn't go over really well, or they thought it was not in good taste or whatever. I'm not like it, all of them had different reasons. But this one was Gone with the Wind. What did you think about Gone with the Wind?
I mean, I didn't remember it. So I was like, oh, look, it's Jim singing a nice song. And it just picks up and goes a little a little crazy.
Haywire?
Yeah, it's like being in the Twister attraction, the old Twister attraction at Universal, where it just starts to pick up and you're like in a wind tunnel. No, it was fine because, you know, Jim Nabors, you know, most people just like our age or would know him as Gomer Pyle. Nobody realized how he had such a great singing career.
Yeah.
You know, it's also like Mel Tillis. Mel Tillis had a great singing career. Everybody thinks he's just that stuttering guy that shows up in the Cannonball Run, Smokey and the Bandit. And also, you know, Jim Nabors was in Cannonball Run too, actually. But
yeah,
because he was good friends with Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise, I believe. Mm-hmm. But no, this is a funny sketch that goes from, you know, just nice to, and just goes and gets silly. Just the way this Muppet, like all of her parts come off, her hair and all that. And Jim's just trying to keep singing his song and stay with it. Yeah, it's really funny.
So we get another Muppet newsflash, and this one, I noticed a trend. So in this one, they actually included Jim Nabors, and the Muppet newsflash was that a flying saucer lands at a gas station. So they have him basically play as Gomer, and I thought it was hysterical because it sounds really funny, but it reminded me of growing up when we had really bad tornadoes, or when there was one time that someone tried to steal the ATM, and it ended up in a farmer's field. And of course they go to interview the farmer about this ATM in the middle of his field. And what do you get? You get exactly this, which is him. And they ask, the news guy asks about this flying saucer landing at the gas station. And he just, as country as can be, goes, well, you know, they asked where the bathroom was because they'd only been flying for 8,000 something miles. I mean, I'd want one too. And that's it. That's like, I thought it was the funniest thing in the world. I thought it was great. Had no care that it was like little green men coming out of a flying saucer. He's like, well, they just flew like 8,000 miles. I need to go to the bathroom too.
it was really funny. One thing we didn't talk about was that there was another one that's recurring is the houses that are kind of
a little freaky.
Those are a little freaky to me too, but they tell like they're quick hitters. They're just a transition. They tell a little joke and they get in, they get out. They told a shingles joke, which is fine. But
I missed that one on this one because actually usually list it. It didn't list it for me. The houses are back. I noticed that one in the next episode. So I apparently missed that because I notated it in the episode that we're going to get.
Oh, maybe you had a long sneeze. That's how quick
I may have, or like turned my, because they are super quick. What's funny is they creep you out a little, and I think they're great. They're kind of claymation, gothic, creepy little houses. Like they need to be upkept. Like I don't know if anybody watched The Curious Something of Christine McGonagall, where it was like a kitchen show, but it was like a skit at the same time. It really reminds me of how they portray the houses on there. I really like it. It's just kind of creepy. They are really funny. The next sketch was also cut from the season one DV, which was the Danceros.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
I thought this was great.
Yeah, it was.
It was silly.
It was again, very Muppet. I was like, you just see these feet dancing and you think that it's two people. And it turns out it's like the hands or the arms of a ball of fur or legs.
Or he has four legs. I'm not sure.
Yeah. It's why like they employ this this trick a lot too, which is the black screen, and you have the performers all clad in black, mm-hmm. and so that way you can't see them, and you just see this thing is floating there, and it's very
right,
you know, a great puppet technique, which they pull off really well on most of these. Mm-hmm.
Completely agree. We get another at the dance. This one was weird. Like, I didn't find it as funny. I didn't even write anything down about it. But it is listed as called health. Because as you know, each one, it may say at the dance, but there's a common theme at the dance that time. And that one was health. I don't know if you...
Let's see. The whole thing with the leg, or which, what are we talking about here?
So after the legs, it goes to another dance, like another ballroom.
No, I mean, this one was just, this was just, these filler. These are filler. I mean, there's nothing to note really in this one. It's just, you know, typical little, dad jokes for the most part is what they tell.
Yeah.
And this, and I, you know, the janitor gets a lot of play in this sketch.
Yes, he does. And he's starting to be more reoccurring too, because he shows up, as part of Scooter's first day, which he's been in the ballroom every time there's at the dance, but he really gets a lot of screen time in this episode in particular.
Yes.
We have a UK spot called Dog Eat Dog.
Mm-hmm.
Different. different. I like the term that Andy has been using, very Muppet. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's what we'll go. Then we get our talk spot where we have our moment with Jim Neighbors, and they're talking about astrological signs, which I thought was really funny. And this is where I wrote Piggy in love with Jim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he pays attention to her, unlike Kermit.
he like talks to her, and she is in like enthralled, and she's like, I'm in love with him now, and that's good. I love these talk spots because I think they just seem very natural, even though they obviously are scripted. Like, it just kind of seems very natural, and I find them very funny. Yeah. We get Wayne and Wanda again, and this is the skit that I said may have something to do with the disclaimer, and I'm not sure.
I wrote that down too. Like, I think this is where the disclaimer comes from.
Okay. But it's called Indian Love Call, and she's basically singing the song. I forget the name of the actual song, but she's singing like When My Love Calls to You as she's dancing or standing with Wayne. And she's basically like singing a love song to him. And all of a sudden, this young Native American Muppet comes flying up and is like, did you call? Because she's like, when I call to you, my love. And then here he comes. He's like, did you call? And she's like, just exacerbated. She's like, no, I didn't call you. So it's just kind of, again, like, wholesome, nothing really, it's not really silly. It's just kind of like you giggle and move on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fozzie then gets an act, which I love Fozzie's acts because sometimes they are dad jokes that aren't funny.
Yeah. This one, I wrote down Statler and Waldorf were brutal on this one.
This one. Yeah.
Yeah. They tore really into him. I feel bad for Fozzie. I just really.
I do. Genuinely, I think we talked about that last time, and I think it will be a reoccurring I feel bad for Fozzie. And this one was called If You Don't Laugh, I'll Never Come Back. And I think they even tell him, like, good, like, don't come back. Like, we don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, they're
really bad.
I think that would be why, if they ever drove him away, they'd be really upset because they'd be like, what are we supposed to do with ourselves now?
Yeah, we don't have anybody to pick on. Like, what are we supposed to do? Then we get Jim Neighbors, which I liked how much sometimes they use guests a little less and sometimes they use them a little more. It appears that Jim Neighbors was well perceived because he was used quite a bit in this episode because he has another guest act where he works security at a bakery.
Yes, I think this is a very funny one where a lot of jokes about his accent being misheard.
Yes.
You know, because you have a Ralph coming in here trying to steal from the bakery. And everything is, yeah, as being a Southerner, you know, you probably, those are my hands. Those are not my,
yeah.
He's like, I guess not, I don't know. But yeah, I have it playing right now where it's like, just so confusing. And, I've got this rat right here. What rat do I have? I have a rat right here kind of thing.
It's one of those, like, if Miranda is really tired or has had a little too much to drink, she sounds a lot like Jim Neighbors.
Don't move a hair. I got a hair right here.
Got a hair right here. I need you to move that. I can slip back into it pretty easily. It's really funny.
Yeah, I'm sure my New York comes out sometimes when I'm tired too. So
every now and then I've heard it a couple of times. It's really funny.
You get like the enough of nothings. What are we doing here?
There was a night you and I recorded. It's been a couple years ago now. And it was so super late. And we were like laughing so hard that we're crying. And Andy's like, good for nothing. And I'm like, I just can't deal with you anymore. Oh my God. Bless your heart. I am going to bed. Like, it was pretty bad. Oh my God. I'm crying again already. Ugh. So, a song I actually really love. I've loved it since I was a kid. Jim Neighbors gets another guest act to close out the show, and he sings Thank God I'm a Country Boy with all the Muppets. It's adorable. It's endearing. I loved it.
Yeah, it is. And he does it with the, I guess the, this band appears a lot, and I don't know if we ever get names for the band or
no,
or the character.
I don't think we do.
But yeah, they're just like, they're the country version of Electric Mayhem, basically. That's what I call them.
Yeah. So yeah, I was going to ask you if you knew their name, but I don't think they really have a name. No. But I love them. They're great. And that Jim Neighbors episode, I thought as I'm watching through these, that I love Rita Moreno, and I was like, okay, maybe this is my new favorite one. And then I watched Jim Neighbors, and I was like, okay, maybe this is my new favorite one because I love Jim Neighbors. Like, he just is a very sweet person all around. So then I was like, oh, this is nice. Like, I liked him a lot. Like, okay. So he used to come into the salon and day spa that I worked at in Nashville, Tennessee. He used to come there a lot. My grandmother had worked there for several years before I worked there, and she had developed like a friendship with him. So when I came in and the first time he was there, she was like, this is my granddaughter. And he was just so super nice and caring. And I think it's partly because I met a lot of very famous people always there. And I think that the reason everyone was so nice and caring and I have genuine good stories is because I treated them like any other person coming to the spa that day. And I didn't like, oh my God, you're so-and-so. Like, they just want to be treated like regular people. And he was just so nice. And just, we have signed headshots from him that my grandmother has at her house that he gave it. He just gave us one day. It was like, here, you guys are always nice to me. I wanted to give you something. I mean, it didn't cost him anything, but at the same time, like, he's probably haggled for those all the time. So he's just a really nice guy. So I thought that this episode was going to be my favorite. And then we get to episode 7, and I thought, okay, I like this person. I'm probably going to really like this one. So October 17th of 1976. So 1976, Floris Henderson. She's well known. Like, that's big for 1976. Unfortunately, she is no longer with us. She passed November 24th of 2016, which I didn't realize. When I was looking it up for us, I didn't realize. But then I was like, oh, maybe she did. I had forgotten about that. But she was very well known at the time because wouldn't the Brady Bunch have been airing at the same time?
Yeah, because the Brady Bunch, I believe, started in 1969, actually.
Okay.
They ran from 69 to 74. And then at this time, they were doing the Brady Bunch variety show, or variety hour, however you want to call it.
Okay. Because Kermit does mention she takes care of X amount of kids on Brady Bunch and four of her own, Miss Lawrence Henderson. So I was like really shocked because I was like, I definitely know this one, which I knew the other two, but it's like, everybody knows Florence Henderson. Beautiful America's lady. Mom. Mm-hmm. Yes, she was. She's America's mom.
She's America's mom and Weston Oil lady. Because she used to do the
Weston Oil.
She did the Weston Oil commercials, and yeah, that's where I knew her from. I didn't know her from I wasn't familiar with anything else she did outside of that, but I mean, when you're Carol Brady, come on. You don't have to do anything else, right?
Really, you really don't have to. I'm with you. I think really the only, I mean, she's popped up here and there and other things because she was Florence Henderson, but I really truly know her from
Carol and Brady Bunch.
And then I think
Love Boat. Mm-hmm.
Was she also in the Partridge Family?
No, that was Shirley Jones.
Oh, that's right. No. Okay, yeah. She was. Mm-hmm. They were just really good friends. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Took me a second. But it was she was fantastic, and so we got a taste of her like in her prime, in this episode, and she is great. Our current reoccurring backstage gag theme is Piggy coming on to Kermit. Like, she is full force, which is funny because when she's at the dance, she's with the other pig.
Yeah, we haven't gotten a full-fledged Kermit Piggy romance yet.
Not yet. Like, she gets super jealous anytime. Mm-hmm. Like, Marita Moreno, she was like, she was not okay. She doesn't like anybody hitting on Kermit. And we got... Right. And when we were doing the first four, he even says, Piggy, honey, you take the lead or whatever, when they're singing one of those songs. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they're not like a couple. Right. Not yet. So she is officially coming on to him. And that is going to be what's going on backstage throughout this entire episode. And we start our first sketch with guys that I remember loving as a kid and kind of forgot about.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Bouncing Brothers.
The Bouncing Borsellino Brothers, yes.
Borsellino Brothers, which is funny. Do you know what one of our favorite restaurants is here? And what it's right underneath my house.
What is it?
Borsellino.
There you go. Borsellino.
Spelled different, but it's Borsellino.
Nice.
It is a pizza place. It's fantastic. The Bouncing Borsellino, I had forgot. Like, it's one of those, like, as soon as I saw it, I remembered it. But I had forgotten, like, if we were just talking about skits, didn't remember it. It's really funny. It is what you think it is. They're pigs, but they're Muppets, and they do acrobatics.
Yeah,
and they do a pyramid. Pretty funny.
And they break through the stage floor. And then we get George, who is kind of fresh here.
Yeah.
You know?
George is low-key, like, you don't realize how funny he is. Like,
yeah.
I like George.
Yeah, George is cranky, cantankerous, you know.
But he's not as bad as Statler and Waldorf, but he's just the right level of cranky, cantankerous old janitor that it works perfect.
Yes.
Like, he is to backstage what Statler and Waldorf are to the auditorium floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a resident cranky old person.
There you go. Exactly. And you have to have at least once. Or at least one, but they're lucky enough to have all of them.
Yes.
We do get a guest act with Florence. She was a fantastic singer as well. This one it's just kind of like airy and light. Nothing too crazy about it, called Elusive Butterfly. She's walking through a very Jim Henson-esque scenery with some fog and some white trees and little butterflies. Just well done, in my opinion, kind of.
Yeah, just a nice, you know, sketch where the nice dissolves and she's in the forest. It's very, kind of like un-Muppet-like, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, it's like something you might see like on a regular variety show where she's just singing, through there. And then Miranda, did you sneeze again? You forgot the houses.
No.
The houses were the transition.
The houses are back.
They were the transition between George and this sketch.
Were they between? Okay, so in my notes, I flipped it up because I wrote, houses are back. And then I wrote, ballroom is back, which happens after Elusive Butterfly. So
yes, they did a haunted house joke, which was funny. I mean, look, they don't creep me out like the other, the human Muppet things. It's fine. It's fine. It's just, you know what it is? It's different. It's like something you would see like on Sesame Street. I think.
And I love Sesame Street. Like, mm-hmm. if I could still watch it, I'd do it.
That's one thing about when your kids get older is you don't get to, like, watch some things that you secretly, like, enjoy watching. Because there were some things, like, I watched, like, literally, the SiriusXM just came out with a Disney Hits channel. I have it on all the time. And a lot of sometimes, like, some songs will come on. I'm like, oh, that's something like the song Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. When Jessica was a baby, we'll talk about this on our other show when we get this episode, but I would take her and I would toss her in the air every time somebody says no one. So I hear songs there. So that's kind of like what we're talking about here, though, with Sesame Street and the Muppets. Like, the stuff that you love that they were watching was like, okay, I'll watch this show. I'm down with that.
I watched Sesame Street. You watched Sesame Street as a kid. Like, it's something that it's been on for so long that, like, I loved it as a kid. And then getting to show it to our kids and it, like, it's still going. And now they have all these, like, diverse characters and it's, like, so amazing. And then, like, so I low-key sometimes just turn it on in the background. Especially when you want, like, background noise, it's not, like, irritating. Like, yeah, I do. I turn on Sesame Street. Or I do. I love that new Sirius channel is available. Because I actually still have access to my Sirius because of VPN. And I was so excited when they sent us that email a couple weeks ago. And they're like, we're adding these, like, 35 new channels. And I'm reading down it. And I was actually like, yes, Sandy's going to be so excited. Because they're canning the Disney Channel or the Disney Sirius Channel, like, music.
Okay.
It's going away, but it's like a lot of pop and current with clean versions, edited versions. Yeah. So apparently they're X-Maying that, and they're going to give us, like, they have the Disney Kids, which is like all the little kids songs. But so. Kind of like not off topic. They're canning that one. So they're giving us this one because they said this is more of what people really wanted when they thought Disney Channel music. So I'll take it. We get back to the dance. This one was kind of cute. It was titled We're Engaged. And it's the shrieky, loud little blonde Muppet. And she's like, can I tell everyone we're engaged? And he's like, yeah, I guess. And so she screams, we're engaged. And then she goes, I've been waiting so long to do that. Like, it just cracked. Yeah. And everybody's really happy for him. And that's pretty much the gist of that one. We get a talk spot. Again, I love these. And this is where Piggy is starting to really show her infatuation with Kermit. And she basically threatens America's mom.
Yeah. You don't, like, do that.
No, you don't. Because Florence is even like, we've known each other for a long time, Kermit and I. We're just friends. It's platonic. And then she's like, if you do anything, if you lay a hand on that frog, and this is when you get the first high. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you high me, frog stealer.
Yeah. So that was really funny. I really liked that one. And then apparently I did sneeze, Andy, because the UK spots have been present on all of the episodes that we've watched. And it says that the UK spot is called Coddleston Pie.
Mm-hmm.
Not remembering this.
No.
You sneezed too then?
No, I wrote it down, but I didn't remember it from, like, you know, when I was a kid.
No, like, I don't remember it right now.
Well, it's just, it's Rolf, and it's a Winnie the Pooh song that he sings.
Oh, okay. I do remember, because he's like one of my favorite bears, and then he talks about Winnie the Pooh.
Yes.
Okay, that was cute.
Yeah, he's one of those. Rolf's forte is the, you know, the piano player that tells a story as he says he's singing.
I love Rolf.
Like the piano, he's like, I guess, a Muppet Billy Joel, so to speak. He's the piano man.
He's a piano man. Okay, I'll go for that. We get another panel discussion, and we actually talked briefly about this one last time because we were talking about the different things that may or may not come up. And this one is hysterical. Florence Henderson cracks a joke about the whole premise is, was William Shakespeare in fact Bacon? But they don't mean literal bacon.
Yeah, they mean Sir Francis Bacon.
Right, Sir Francis Bacon. Like, were Sir Francis Bacon and William Shakespeare actually the same person? Well, many of the Muppets do not get this, and Piggy gets offended. And then somebody was like, you don't like bacon? And Florence Henderson's like, actually, I love bacon. I had it this morning for breakfast. And she's just, like, not even realizing, like, she's not being malicious, but she's just talking about how great bacon is. And here goes Piggy, and she loses her mind again, because she's a pig.
Yes, and Florence makes a lot of pig jokes. Like, I had a lot of bacon. It was so good this morning. I actually made a pig of myself.
And then something about instead of a knuckle sandwich, like, how about I hit you in the ham hock or something?
Yeah, Piggy, you're hogging all the time.
Yeah, you're hogging all the time. And they just start giving Piggy crap. Like, basically, Piggy gets torn into like she's Fozzie. It is pretty funny.
But unlike Fozzie, she hits back. Like, this Fozzie, is true. Fozzie, I don't think really ever like had a mean fur on his body or something like that.
I don't know.
Yeah, but Piggy, you don't mess with Piggy.
Mm-mm.
And you have this like old guy that I don't remember this Muppet at all. He's been in a couple of these sketches.
Oh yeah, the one, is he the one that's supposed to be like the guru?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's, because there's been a few times they're like, well, we're gonna have our discussion and we're going to speak to our guest and our guru, and he's just referred to as the guru a few times. I don't know what his real name is, but that's what the old guy is. But we mentioned was William Shakespeare, in fact, Bacon last time, because we were talking about some of the silly things that get brought up and some of the discussions that they have and how sometimes they're serious and sometimes they're not. Yeah, so that one I love. I love that panel discussion. I like pretty much all the panel discussions, because it's really where people start going at each other. And they crack jokes. They do like...
Yeah, they devolve very quickly.
Yeah. And that's the whole point, I think, especially when you're having discussions like that. In real life, people, they can devolve very quickly. Which is true, but done in a Muppet-like fashion and very funny. And then we get poor Fozzie, who decides he's doing impressions of great actors.
Yeah, doesn't go well, as per usual with Fozzie.
Yeah, and poor Statler and Waldorf giving him crap the whole time. But they agree with him this time, because he goes through all of his actors and he does all of his stuff, and they're like, those weren't very good, they were all the same. And Fozzie actually claps back for once, and it's so funny because he goes, well, maybe because they were all written by the same guy.
Yes,
and they basically just have this look of like touche, like,
yeah, you know, all right, well, we can't argue with that. Yeah,
right, like I don't have anything to say with that. We get Florence again, less of her than we had of Jim, it seems like. She was in the talk spot, the panel discussion, and now she's in this guest act doing Happy Together, which I thought was really cute. It's done with a couple of the other Muppets that I really don't think they have any real names. They just appear randomly.
Like random monsters sometimes in the background.
Yeah, just random little monsters. But they sing Happy Together as one big group. I really liked this one.
I enjoyed this one too, yes.
Yeah.
Because they're like lizards or whatever, and it's Florence.
Yeah, I think she does even say little lizard guy or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it's your typical, like, they're supposed to be like the bad guys or villains or scary, but you know they have feelings,
they do,
and you could be happy hanging out with them, and Florence does that. Florence is very her sketches are very like, you know, nice. There's like a nice thing to them for the most part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That what you would expect of, again, not just like calling her the same thing over and over again, but what you would expect of America's Mom, what you would expect from Florence Henderson. She just was very happy and wholesome and caring. And so they gave her sketches that matched to who America saw her as, basically. Mm-hmm. So we get our final sketch of the evening on this one, and it is called Love Comes to Coosbane.
Uh-huh.
So what did you think of Love Comes to Coosbane?
I love this one. Kuzbane Kermit has kind of a special place for me, because, you know, I talk about my Muppet figures, and I have or had a Kuzbane Kermit. So this kind of harkens back to his Sesame Street days, though, when he was the roving reporter, and he's reporting here. And the Kuzbane Kermit set is it's Kermit dressed like this, and you have the Kuzbanians on rocks. Well, I had a very good friend of mine at work. She, I believe she works for a different company. Since she left, I haven't talked to her in a bit. But when she was leaving, I had this on my desk. She stole my Kuzbanian Kermit figure to have a piece of, like, something to remember me by on her desk at her new job. So every time I think of Kuzbanian Kermit, I think of my good friend Lindsay. And, you know, but I think this is a very silly, and it's a takeoff on those nature shows that we used to see on PBS. Yeah. Back then, and they still do it. And the fact that how the Kuzbanians mate is pretty funny. So
the fact the female Kuzbanian sounds like a teenager that's laughing far too hard at something that wasn't that funny.
Yes.
That to me is pretty funny. Yeah.
And how he does the play by play and how silly
it is. He's the play by play. Yeah. And here we see the female Kuzbanian. And it literally is like.
Yes.
Yeah, like.
The Galio hoop hoop, where they almost like they take like paces.
Yeah.
He's like, this should be very exciting. It's the first time on television, ladies and gentlemen. The Kuzbanian Galleon hoop hoop. And they go so far away. I can't get
past her laughing, though.
Hey, you! And they just does, like... It's just... And they, like, get ready to go. Galio hoop hoop, and they just run fast at each other. Until they basically, like, what, like, explode when they hit each other? Is that how? And then they... and the little Kuzbanians come out.
And they're just kind of, like, making little noises. They're just there. And they're like, they're there. It's very strange.
Yeah, this is up there with the... when they do alien stuff, you know, we're going to get to it when we get the yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-burring telephone. Yeah, when we get to those, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if we see the Kuzbanians again on any shows, but... But they are...
I don't think so.
If it's a one-off, it's one of my favorite one-offs that we have on this show.
So, we get to episode 8. And I was still on the thing of, like, no, that one was my favorite. And then I get to episode 8, airing on October 10th, which was before the 17th. But for whatever reason, they have it as episode 8. It actually aired prior to. And I even wrote something down about that, I think. But this one actually aired October 10th of 1976. For whatever reason, Muppet reasons. That's all. This one has Paul Williams as the guest. If you do not know who Paul Williams is, he is an American composer, singer, songwriter, and an actor. I know him best as just a singer more than an actor. I didn't realize he was much of one, to be honest. That sounds bad, but he will come up later because he actually will go on to be part of the Oscar nominated song for Rainbow Connection that we will hear when we get to the Muppet movie. So he's a friend of the Muppets
as well.
He is.
Yeah. He's been in a few movies. I mean, I knew him as Lil Enos, I think it was like from, I think that was the character's name in the Smokey and the Bandit movies. He played the, you know, I guess the younger one of the son.
Yeah, I guess he did. I just think of him more in a music sense. I kind of
Oh no, I know he's a composer, and God, I'm trying to remember what the name of the show is on Disney Plus. They're tracking down. I don't know if it was a Muppet one where he was in an episode where they were tracking down Kermit's banjo from the Muppet movie. I think.
Hmm.
I want to try. I'm trying to remember that. I'm going to find out what it is, and I'll tell you when I do. But it's on Disney Plus. I think it's prop the one about props, the show about movie props. Yeah, and then he's in. I don't know if it's all Muppet related, but there was one where he was there and he was talking about the original banjo that he sang it in the Kermit sang in the swamp in Rainbow Connection.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So our running gag in this one going on backstage is that Fozzie and Scooter are preparing to do a telephone pole bit, mm-hmm. Where I think Scooter is actually being silly and is like, hey, let's do this skit together and you're just going to be a telephone pole. Insinuating that Fozzie just needs to stand there and do nothing. I mean, he's brown. He can be a telephone pole. The problem is throughout the whole show, as they go over and they come backstage and show Fozzie doing different things, there's people that are like, there's no way you can pass as a telephone pole. But then like a lineman comes in and strings him with line, or just different things keep happening that would only happen to a telephone pole. And they're like, well, maybe I'm wrong. Okay. So that whole bit is going on the whole time. And it actually is, again, you feel sorry for Fozzie, but it's actually working out to his, you know, like to everyone else's dismay, it's working out because they're like, you can't pass this telephone pole. And he is, it's working. So it's working. Poor Fozzie, but it's working. Our first skit, which was cut again from season one's DVD version, don't know why, is actually Paul Williams singing one of his songs, All of Me. It's actually really good. And what I thought was cool is this is the one where Kermit alludes to it when he's introducing Paul, saying that they're going to make a little puppet, which they did in previous episodes. They presented the person with their Muppet version of themselves when they left, but they haven't done it for a couple episodes.
I think they only did it in the first few episodes. They stopped doing it fairly quickly.
I could imagine that it would start getting very expensive, but they mm-hmm. do it for Paul Williams. And maybe, you know, with him having such a connection to the Muppets going further, I wonder if maybe him and Henson were friends or something, or mm-hmm. even friends of someone. But they, two versions of him, because there says something in the song about singing in a three-part harmony. And there are three of him.
Ah, actually. Okay.
Because there's two Muppets and one of him. It was really, mm-hmm. I liked it. I thought this was really well done. And I think Paul Williams is one that it also appears that he gets a lot of time on screen in his episode versus, say, Rita or Florence for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Which is really good.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed this song a lot.
Yeah. Well, no, we had two back-to-back, so I'm confusing the two of them. So he did All of Me, and then it immediately goes into him singing another one, which is Old Fashioned Love Song. And that's
All of Me, that was a weird sketch, that one, All of Me, because it was like that Muppet basically taking all of his parts off
and putting them into a box. Oh, that's right. So when I was writing down notes, I wrote down like two things side by side. So I did. That gave me Labyrinth vibes.
I was just like, what? This is freaky.
Remember when Jim Henson creates the Labyrinth, he has those guys at one point that are like popping their heads off and stuff, and they're like, why can't she do it? So that's what it reminded me of. I forgot, like I was bumping two things together here. Sorry, everybody. But yeah, so they cut that from season one DVD, and now I'm wondering if it's because it was a little bit creepy. Like it could have scared
it is kids. It is a lot of it creepy, actually.
Yeah. But I mean, they basically, he's like, here, you can have all of me. Here, have my hair, have my legs.
Yes,
have my
arms. He takes off his eyeball. Yeah, everything. I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's strange. It's very strange. And it's he's weird looking at that point. So we go from that to the guest act song, which is why I was truly like merging the two together for some weird reason. And that is where they have Old Fashioned Love Song. Fantastic song. Very good. And this is where you see two Muppet versions of Paul and himself doing the song. And then we get a new reoccurring sketch that we haven't seen yet, but is one of my other favorites. Mm-hmm. Muppet yes. Labs.
Oh my God, yes. We don't get full on though, right? Yeah, we only get.
No, you don't, because there's no Beaker. It's just Dr. Bunsen.
Dr. Bunsen Honeydew. Welcome to Muppet Labs. Yes, Bunsen Honeydew, another one of my favorite characters. He's up there with, Swedish Chef, like as in terms of like, just silly.
Right. So I love this one. So if you don't know much about Dr. Bunsen, he's always creating things that like don't go quite right. Mm-hmm. And so in this one, he's created an all-purpose tenderizer, and he like throws a plate and it breaks. And he's like, see, the plate shattered. Well, it wouldn't have if you had used the all-purpose tenderizer. And he sprinkles another plate with tenderizer, and it's just basically very malleable, and he can roll it. He just rolls it, and he holds it against himself, and he's like, oh, so whatever. And it's strange. So then he starts, like, putting the tenderizer on all kinds of things, and none of it makes sense because you don't want your plate to be able to roll up like a tortilla shell.
Yes. And this is a funny sketch.
It is super funny.
But, I mean, I don't know how long it's till we get Beaker's introduction. We'll find out. But it's definitely, it just adds another element, another layer to it. And it just makes, Beaker is just so silly. He's adorable. And he doesn't.
He's not trying to be silly either.
And he gets kind of the short end of the stick quite often. So it makes it quite funny, especially in The Great Muppet Caper. So.
Oh, agreed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The next sketch I thought was, it's actually supposed to be very sweet. Mm-hmm. And it's Ralph doing a poem called Silence. But as he's reading the poems, the things that he's describing actually start happening, and he's getting really irritated because he's just trying to read this really nice poem to everyone.
Yes.
Because I think at the end of the day, like you said, he's a piano man. He's a storyteller. Yeah. He's a calm. He wants to be calm and just kind of endearing. So that's what he's trying to do. But what makes the skit funny, go from like him being a little irritated and it being kind of cutesy to funny, is Kermit comes in and is like, hey, Ralph, could you keep it down here? We're trying to do a show.
Yes, I think that's a pretty funny joke there.
Yeah, that one was really good. Then we have another at the dance. This one was another one that's just kind of dry, not as memorable, but it's funny. It's, do you want to take a trip?
Yes.
He's like, do you want to take a trip? And she's like, of course. So then he like dip trips her in the floor. The UK spot, which is present. I wrote down a note about this one. Called I'm in Love with a Big Blue Frog. And this is Mary Louise. The puppet is Mary Louise. And she's singing it. It does feature Kermit and Robin, which Robin is Kermit's nephew, I believe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it has Kermit and Robin. And then it says, and the other frogs. So the other, they're just a bunch of other frogs. Mm-hmm. And she talks about being in love with a 6'3" blue frog, and the neighbors are concerned about having neighbors that are blue. And I wrote down 6'3" blue frog as husband. No thanks.
Yeah, that'd be kind of scary.
Yeah, I was like, this goes above and beyond what terrifies Andy. Like 6'3" blue frog, Andy would be like, no.
Nope, I'm out.
No. Yeah,
it kind of reminds me of Prairie Dawn a little
and
bit.
And she said, yes. The whole time I was sitting there, I was looking at it going, this is something else. And that is exactly what it is, Prairie Dawn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no, this was weird. And she follows the end of the song and she's like, it's not strange to me because last year I was in love with a bumblebee. And I'm like, this girl needs a shrink. Is that what I also wrote down? So this one kind of creeped me out a little bit. I don't know why, because none of the frogs, they don't actually show the 6'3" frog.
The thought of a 6'3" blue frog is creeping you out, I think.
It's creeping me out, but then there's also a little tiny disappointment factor, because you're waiting for this. What I thought would have been really funny is if on screen at the end, a frog, like where you couldn't even see their head, like you could just tell by the body and stuff that it was made by a Kermit, that it was them, like with his head cut off because he's 6'3" and he's too tall to fit into the scene. I thought it would have been funny to have that. But then I also don't want to see a 6'3" Muppet frog.
No. No, I think I'm good going my whole life without seeing that.
That's like the stuff of nightmares.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Anyway, so watch it or don't. It's funny, but it's different. Then we get our talk spot with our guest, Paul, again. And I thought this was really cute and funny. He gets super excited and he's like, this is the first time in my life that I'm on a show and I am not the shortest person. And I even wrote down, I think Andy will freak on this one, because he's so excited because Paul Williams is a shorter man. And he's so excited that he's like, I'm surrounded by Muppets, so I'm no longer the shortest guy on the show. And I'm so excited. And then here comes Sweetums and a couple other of the really big Muppets.
Yeah, well, the big blue one, it's called, his name is Thog. Don't know why. But he, I'm kind of used to them because once they get the new open, they're in the new open every episode. So you see them so much. And I'm not bad with the purple face guy either. I'm not bad with that. And Thog is cute. I actually have a Thog figure. It came in the same set as Manamana and Sam the Eagle. And he's cute because he doesn't really do much. He just moves his ears. He's not scary looking at all. He's just this giant kind of blue eggplant, so to speak. It almost looks like a cow face, right? Whatever they were smoking when they came up with these Muppet creatures, give me some of that. You know what I mean?
I mean, it was the 70s. There was a lot of stuff going around that, you know, like it's been said that he and a few others that were big creators of the time possibly were doing different things. Mm-hmm. Is there proof? Maybe somewhere. I say if that's what got him through getting us all this stuff, keep on. Otherwise, I do not support doing drugs.
Yes, exactly.
So, but that I thought was really funny because then he's like, now for the first time in my life, I'm going to cry in front of however many thousand people, because he's like excited about it and he's not, which I thought was funny. So we have another guest act, which it's silly funny for the next one, which was Got Anything Cheaper sketch. What did you think about this one where the guy comes in, he's a big purple, was he blue or purple? He's blue.
Oh yeah, this is one of the common monsters. I don't know what you mean.
It's just he doesn't really have a monster, but he comes in and he's like, I want to get to Pittsburgh. Because obviously it's a travel agency of some sort, because Paul's on the phone as his character and is like, yeah, I can get you there, blah, 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 hangs up. And he's like, how can I help you? And he's like, I want to get to Pittsburgh. And he's like, okay, well, I can get you there for $700 and something on like the fancy seat, which is probably like business class. And when I heard that, I was like, man, that's cheap.
This is almost like a Maxwell Smart kind of thing where it's like, would you believe the 7th Brigade? Would you believe the 6th Brigade? All right. Would you believe, you know, 12 Boy Scouts on roller skates? It's kind of like, I can get you on this for this much money. And then this, and then, you know, for $75, you know, I could do this. And then he flattens them and puts them in the mail.
Yeah. He's like, could you get any cheaper? And he drops, like, it's supposed to be like 5,000 tons or something. It's insinuating it is. And he drops on him. He's like, here, throw this in the mail to Pittsburgh. And I was like, dang, if that were that easy. But I love that one. I thought it was really funny because it's kind of just cheesy, but it's funny at the same time. Kind of reminded me of a little bit of like the Who's On First sort of gag.
Yes, to exactly. To me, it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just, you know, how about this? All right, and then it just keeps getting lower and lower and lower to the, and then since he's Muppet, you can actually flatten them. So,
which makes sense. So we get Wayne and Wanda again, and Sam just, he comes up and introduces them again in this one, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he gets so excited. I think I get excited for Sam because he's so excited. He's like, I love them. I love them so much. So it's Wayne and Wanda. And then this time they sing You Do Something to Me. Again, just kind of cutesy and fun. They're always dressed the same way. And it's kind of always the same premise. There's nothing really that changes about them. I think they're a really good kind of fun palate cleanser in between acts. Also, while the backstage bit is going on as well.
Yes, exactly. They're there just to be like, they're supposed to be normal compared to the rest of them, which is what they do.
Right. We get a Muppet News Flash, which they include Paul on part of. Not as funny as the Jim Neighbors inclusion to me, but still pretty funny.
Yes.
They talk to him. They're like, it's called I Picked Up the Phone and No One Was There. And so you expect something to happen, or you expect it to be like a little creepy or something. And no, it was just that no one was there. And so he hangs the phone back up and goes back to watching his show. Mm-hmm. Which is one of those, like, you know, when somebody tells you a dad joke, it's actually not really good, but like you can't help but laugh. And it's just cheesily funny, mm-hmm. which I love dad jokes.
Yes.
I am a sucker for a dad joke. So that's what I got from that, was that like warmth and funny that you find in a really bad dad joke. Fun fact, I actually was a guest on a friend of mine's podcast a few years back. They're no longer on, but you can still find it. It's called Masters Malarkey. And they had a dad joke competition that I was supposed to judge. And it turned into just basically me laughing so hard in the mic for the whole competition. Yes, it was hysterical. I love a good dad joke. So if you have some good ones, send them to me. Fozzie gets to do his telephone pole bit, finally. Finally.
Yeah. Yes.
Poor Fozzie.
But he's actually in the telephone with Scooter there telling the joke, where Fozzie really doesn't get to say anything.
Yeah. That was Scooter's whole point, because Fozzie was like, well, what am I going to do? And he's like, you don't say anything. He's like, I don't say anything? And he's like, no, you don't say anything. I think because in Scooter's mind, Scooter is the best.
Yeah.
So...
And it's a pole. And it's a Polish joke too, because his name is Mike Osnowski. So anything with a ski, you assume is Polish. So
which made me really kind of shocked. We didn't have a disclaimer on this one.
Yeah, because it was a Polish joke.
Like not being mean, but typically when we crack jokes like that, it would be deemed like insensitive and irresponsible. Mm-hmm. So I would have assumed we'd have a disclaimer, but we didn't have one on this episode.
I guess you know, the Polish people have not spoken up yet about you know, how they're been accused of being not smart. Maybe, I don't know.
Or maybe they're like, oh, that was funny. They're letting it go.
Yes. As somebody who is part Polish, I'm fine.
Right. That's like when people crack Irish jokes. They're like, doesn't that make you angry? No. Do you know why? Because we have tough skin and we don't care.
Yeah.
We don't care.
Yeah. Does that offend you as a Jewish person? No, it offends me as a comedian.
Right. I've told somebody once, they're like, does that offend you as a Southerner? No, that offends me because it was a really bad joke. It was just bad. Like, you're just not good.
Bless your heart.
Exactly. I was explaining to someone the other day the different levels of bless your heart.
I get very excited. you know, I remember I say you and Jenny, I recorded on Mom when one of the characters used a Bless Your Heart. I'm like, that's a Southern Bless Your Heart. I know it. And they actually, on the last episode, they had one too as well, where she said
did
it
they?
Again.
I am not caught up right now. But yeah, it's Jamie. I can't think of the actress's name.
Oh, Jamie, what's her face? Oh, God. Now I'm going to have to look it up.
She was big in the 90s. Mm-hmm. She's still really funny. But yeah, she cracks a joke and she goes, bless your heart. And Andy sent it to us and he was like, she was basically saying, if he wasn't, she was like, yes, she was. Good job. You are learning.
It's Jamie Presley is the actress's name.
Jamie Presley. Yes.
She's a Southerner.
She is. And so she uses it a lot. Her character does. And Andy has learned now what those mean.
Yes.
But I was explaining to them to someone here the other day and they were very confused. And then they were like, oh, okay. I was like, yes, now you can use it all the time. Nobody knows.
Yes, I have to go back and you know, maybe listen to every pod we've done before I found out that and how many times you guys said that to me.
I think it's also the thing that we kind of just assume other people know. So it's not like we're not trying to be mean or malicious. Like, we just think people know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you don't, and I've said that to you, I'm not being mean, but you need to learn at what context I used it.
Yeah.
So we are finishing out this episode here, which will round out our watch for this month. And this is, we get another guest act again. This was, heavy pull. And I think we're seeing a pattern of, if the guest star had a connection to, Jim Henson and his crew, or just was a big lover of the Muppets, they tend to get more screen time, it appears, than other guests. And I don't think it's like they're playing favoritism. It's just that person was probably more willing to do more guest spots because I'm sure there was some sort of fee that was charged for a guest. So I would assume it just meant that person was willing to do more guest spots or really enjoyed being there. And so they could get them to do more for whatever the fee was, because I would assume they're not just coming out of the goodness of their heart. I mean, some of them probably did. So I don't want anybody to know that someone did and yell at me, but you know what I'm saying. But I'm seeing a repeating pattern. I don't know if you noticed the same, but like the ones that have some sort of ongoing connection seem to get more screen time in the episode versus other people.
No.
So we get another guest act and we get Sad Song from Paul and gang. What did you think about this kind of closing out with his song and his show and the episode?
No, I thought it was nice. It was a nice, and a lot of Muppets came out for it, which I always like when they have a nice group of them in there. So no, I thought it was fine. I mean, it shows him as a composer and a songwriter. So
I agree.
Yeah, no, I liked it.
I really liked this one too. I don't know if we notated it. I think he is, I did know him, obviously, and he is still alive, so we do not get any check marks. So to close off our tally, this week we added none to the did not know list, but unfortunately we added two check marks to our no longer with us for Jim and Florence. So currently, if you're following along, tallies from last episode and this one, I didn't know two people now out of 8 episodes, and there are 3 people no longer with us out of 8 episodes.
All right. I think the numbers are going to go up the next couple.
I think so too, based on looking ahead at some of the names that are appearing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right.
Next episode we'll do 9, 10, 11, and 12 if you want to watch ahead of time or be prepared as to where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone wanted to reach out, Andy, and like comment on this or give us their thoughts, where can they? I mean, there's a lot of places you and I can both be found together. Mm-hmm. So I guess let's talk about those real quick. We, of course, have the Place to Be Nation group, which is a combination of actually not just our feed, but several others and a lot of people, and they talk about anything and everything on Facebook. So tell everybody a little bit about the group
It's the place to be, it's called, on Facebook. Just ask, request a membership, and this is where, you know, you see all the pods and people present, you know, share great, you know, stories that hit about everything from wrestling to pop culture to sports. A lot of those silly, like, you know, pick one of these or pick that. Once we get back up and doing tournaments, which probably happen during the summer, we'll probably run a tournament or two, because they are kind of time consuming on the back end. But it's a fun place to hang out. It's the place to be, as we like to call it. And also there's the Placement Nation Facebook page, where this pod will get posted and every other pod. If you just want to reach out in the comment section, go ahead. We have a new Twitter for the feed called I believe it's called Place Experience. Sean Kidd was kind enough to create that. So check that out. That literally just got created the other day. So we should be up and running with that and information very soon. Yeah, all kinds of fun stuff going on here.
And other than that, where can the good people find you? I know you are our main voice of the feed here. So tell everybody a little bit about the shows that you're a part of and where they can hear you.
All right. So lots of fun stuff on this feed. And yes, I am probably the predominant voice here. I'm trying to get more people to do more shows or new voices. So I'm always looking for new talent to join the feed. But for now, you can hear me on this week. I have several pods dropping this week. Blockbuster Rewind. That's myself, Scott Shiflett, and Eric Eels. We do a famous big time movie franchise every episode. And this time we're doing Major League, the three Major League movies, plus Summer Catch, which is the bonus film to go along with it, as well as Laughing Theater. It's just myself and I guess doing a live watch of a comedy. Miranda, you and I and Steve, we have Pop Goes the Classics. That is our Disney rewatch series, where we cover the Disney anime classics. The next episode that we'll be dropping is The Sword in the Stone, which you were the host on that episode and ran the ship, and that was a lot of fun for all of us. Plus we have PTBN Trivia Night, which is getting into the semifinals, are starting very soon. This week you can hear the final themed episode, that is Classic Movies, which will give us our ninth semifinalist, and then after that we have our three semifinal matches and our final. So yeah, we're looking we're coming around the stretch here to the finish line, and it's been a lot of fun, and it's gonna, hopefully we have some exciting games coming to the end. And other great shows like Great Debate, Making Mount Rushmore, Pop Goes to the Couch, where we're reviewing Pop Goes the Movies. We're doing Mortal Kombat this week. And over on the Wrestling Network, you can hear me on the wrestling versions of Making Mount Rushmore and The Great Debate, as well as Evolution. Unfortunately, scheduling issues have come up with that show, and hopefully myself and Callum will be able to sit down and talk about Shawn Michaels for a couple hours. So all that fun stuff.
Awesome. We do have a lot for everybody here. Not only on our feed, but what I would refer to as like our brother or sister feeds. We have a lot of feeds with our friends and close friends and other podcast voices that you hear on ours have as well. So we would love for you to check everybody out. Give everybody a review on whatever podcast app you listen on. I know probably every podcaster you listen to says that, but reviews are highly important. So is word of mouth. So sharing our feed or any feed that you listen to and leaving a review is super helpful, super important to get us into other earbuds, as you will. For myself, of course, I am here mainly on the pop feed. As Andy said, we do have the Disney pod that we are going through chronological order from beginning till there really is no end. It keeps going. So we started at the beginning and we're still here, still doing it. Of course, this one, I am still doing Telly and T with my good friend Ben. And I used to say from across the pond, but we're both across the pond now. So, but Ben and I get together. We are still promising the good people that we're making our way through 24. But in the time being, we're giving you guys different little afternoon tea episodes. You can check those out. They range from anything from WandaVision to Great British Bake Off seasons. There will be more coming to include things like Taskmaster, Falcon Winter Soldier, etc. Of course, over on the Ginny position, she has lots that you can listen to. That's a little for everybody, but that's where Geek and Sassy is. That's the home of Geek and Sassy, and we are there as well. Of course, like we said, join us on any social media that you would like. And again, come back so you can be a part of this wonderful ride that is the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, buppentational podcast.
Well, guys, it's just the three of us for a weekend in the swamp.